Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I will be talking about leadership and the body and the conversation that we're not having with Dr. Jonathan Locust. So what does leadership cost the body? In a world where men are often taught to lead with strength, control, and resilience, there is a quieter, less visible reality, one that lives beneath performance, beneath success, beneath the surface. In today's conversation, we'll be exploring the intersection of leadership, masculinity, and the body. Because while many men are conditioned to push through, override, and suppress, the body does not forget. It holds, it absorbs, and eventually it speaks. Together today with Dr. Jonathan Locust Jr., we will move beyond titles and into the truth, examining how stress, pressure, identity, and emotional suppression show up physically and what it means for men to begin listening before the body forces them to. Today is not to be meant to be a conversation about weakness, but really about tuning in and really paying attention to the messages that our body is giving us. So welcome, Dr. Jonathan Locust. Thank you so much. You're on time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I am so good. And thank you so much for joining me today. I was just giving an intro to the audience about what today's conversation is going to be about. I found your profile. I loved what you were talking about. I want to turn it over to you so you can share a little bit more about your journey, your experience, and then we'll dive right in.
Yeah. I'll kind of just maybe just give the short version. So essentially, I'm based out of Tampa, Florida, from Cleveland, Ohio. Before I kind of maybe started on a path focused more being more health conscious, I was on a path of being a university president. I was a vice president in the Minnesota system, had a health issue, and during that health issue, essentially started to look at what are ways that I could heal myself that was kind of void of pharmaceuticals, plus the health issue I had, we wouldn't be able to have another child. I was engaged at the time. Learned about fasting, ended up doing a 24-day water fast. From that water fast, I ended up healing myself, and I wanted to learn more about myself. And my last few years have just been me looking to understand more about myself, why I'm here, and the things that I really need to accomplish in order to be of service to as many people as possible.
I love that. Now, you had mentioned that you were on track to be the president or vice president. And so I imagine that would have been a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and some of your content talks about, you know, burnout. And there's this ideology, I think, amongst maybe old, I don't want to say older, but previous ideas around leadership and being in charge and being authorities, where it was like, if you aren't pushing, if you're not grinding, if you're not muscling through, then you're not doing it right. And do you feel like in your journey that you were kind of doing the same thing?
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I was, as I mentioned, like I was a vice president, and my goal was to be a president. And I was the youngest vice president there. So I felt as though that I had to kind of either outwork, whether that was true or not, but it's something that I at least felt, that I had to outwork, get there before everybody, stay late. And it was, I mean, it was, I would say, a sense of burnout, especially having a young child, a family, and then just there's a lot of pressure from moving states away. And, you know, normally when you have a community, there's people and things that you can go to when times get bad. Well, when you move, you're building that community. So it was a lot of different things, and not only like excessive work, but also not having a kind of a community that I felt like I could actually kind of be with. That was more close knit and physically around me. I had good friends and fraternity brothers, but there was a sense of burnout that I knew I needed to slow down because if I did not slow down, I was not going to be an effective leader. I was not also going to be able to fulfill my other responsibilities in the best and efficient way as I can if I myself am not healthy and doing what I need to do.
So you logically knew that. And do you feel like in some ways the health crisis, for lack of putting it a better way, is like what actually stopped you dead in your tracks and was like, no, not later, now, because we've given you enough cues and you're not listening.
That was it. 100%. It was the health issue where, like you mentioned before, you can keep running and you can keep running, but after so many sometimes something's not going to go right. And that something not going right is really a notification that there needs to be a change that was made. And it was not only a perspective of how I utilize my time, but a complete mindset shift. And that was where I needed kind of that everything happened where I had that reset because my mindset was really operating in a way of how can I reach these kind of these goals, but not necessarily like what do I need, what do the people around me need in order to maintain and be successful.
So I just want to kind of pivot today and talk a little bit about men and leadership and the body and things like that. I feel like we're societally at a place right now where there's, I mean, we're probably always in transition and evolution, but when we talk about leadership, you have these examples that we see in a lot of ways of male leaders, that is very much, like I said, about this energy of push, drive, keep going, all that. And we need that energy. That's how we get things done.
Right.
But when you think about today and men in leadership, what do you think is actually happening beneath the surface?
Yeah, well, and are you kind of talking about like in any type of industry or just kind of just more generally?
I think generally, because when I think about leadership, to me, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, if it's like a school or a business or if you're a political figure, like leadership is ultimately leadership. There's lots of stresses and pressures that come with it. And I think that what I observe, and I'm asking from the perspective of you, because I mean, there's what I could speculate on what is going on. And what I'm interested in is like when you look at it, what do you see? What do you think is going on beneath the surface?
So I'm like kind of as a researcher, I'm always like breaking things down into smaller parts. So in regards to leadership, I will say it kind of in a few different ways. I can share how I feel about things that are happening: political leadership, business leadership, and education leadership. But
Is
I
it
will say,
different? In your opinion, is it different?
So I would say it's different because even when you look at different types of leadership, whether it's servant leadership, whether it's conscious leadership, like there's all these different kind of ways in which people can be able to lead. I think that the shift that we're seeing is, so let's even take business for example, right? And depending on kind of which area you have business leaders that are saying things that are happening within this economy is wrong, right? Things that this wealth gap distribution is absolutely wrong. So I think those are leaders who are servant leaders that are saying that are not only looking at about how they're being impacted, but the people that their either product or service is serving, how they're being impacted. You just heard Oracle just laid off like 10,000 people by way of the email at 6 a.m. in the morning. To me, that does not that's not the same level of leadership. That's not servant leadership. I think also there is this thing, as you mentioned and alluded to before, as this go, 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 go. Go get them drive. But as we see these again consistent mass layoffs happen, people are knowing or starting to see that you could just get rid of me. They're dispensable. So I think that there has been a shift with certain leaders who do care about their energy, that do care about burnout, that are approaching it in a completely different way, and are approaching it in regards to seeing what is it that my either employees, what is it that they need that could actually be able to help them become better leaders. I'll kind of give an example and then I'll pass it back. So when I was in Minnesota, it was, which was very, you know, Minnesota is one of the most unionized states in America. So there were certain kind of practices and processes that we had to follow when working with people who are in a union. But one of the things that I always did that was different was I started the conversation, and my employees, they would tell you, is what do you want to accomplish this year? What do you want to accomplish in 3 years? And then based on what they said, that is how the conversation was. So when we talked about what their professional development dollars look like, because I would distribute their professional development dollars, we would then make sure it lead based on things that they wanted to accomplish. So those are things when we kind of, from my perspective, when we're talking about leadership, I'm seeing people that I think have not in certain areas been servant leaders, but some that are actually starting to say, we have to have a shift because the generations and the people that are either buying our products or being here are also changing.
Absolutely. So really more of an awareness or a consciousness that what has happened previously cannot continue into the future. So I would say almost like this idea, I almost want to call it fear-based leadership, right? This type of mindset that almost like threatening livelihood, for lack of putting it a better way, right? Like, obviously, we want employees, if we're talking about in the context of business, we want employees to commit to doing what they were hired for and do it well, or to the level that a business wants it done at. But I think that you're right, that the transition is moving more to how can I help you tap into your passion, your fire, the things that make you feel amazing so that we can utilize that in achieving of the organizational objectives. You know, specific to your journey and your experience, would you say I guess it's obvious that you were somewhat disconnected from your body. And so those cues that were coming to say like, hey, you got to slow down. Do you remember, do you have like a recollection of when exactly that happened? Or do you think it was just one of these gradual things where all of a sudden you're however old you are in your 30s or whatever, and you're having this little bit of a help? Can you think of when that time was that it was just like you were so completely disconnected from your body?
Yeah. So I would say that. So I guess in one sense, there's two things. The one sense was like, as in regards to being like what I consider healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So as far as even back then, I could go, actually, I'm going to go run after this. I'm going to go running. So I've always like ran and actually been healthy. And I equated that to what health was. So if I could go run a bunch or play sports for a certain amount of time, then I was healthy. But I think the disconnect was of how I not realizing that we are truly mind, body, and spirit, right? Yes. There's a connection between the three, and focusing just on the body is not going to do it, and there will be problems. So I started kind of feeling things to where I would start to feel these feelings of I would say feelings that are more of why am I here? I will say they would be more spiritual based questions. Like, am I actually doing what I am supposed to be doing while here? That would come up. And it would be in regards to the mind, there would be things that would kind of stress me out that normally wouldn't stress me out, or things I would kind of maybe get a little upset about that normally I would normally be fine with. And those were the things that I started to see that kind of served as triggers were there. The mind, body, spirit is not connected. There has to be more than just being able to work out, do a lot of push-ups. What are some of the other activities that I'm doing that I need to be doing that I wasn't doing, meditation and things like that, to start to integrate the three?
I love that. I want to talk more about that. We will continue this conversation. We are going to go to our first commercial break. But when we come back, I want to dive more into disconnect in the body, because we've started this and I want to get more into like maybe some of the somatic practices that you might have learned and how we really began to connect the three of mind, body, and spirit. But we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am joined by Dr. Jonathan Locust Jr., and we are covering leadership and the body, the conversation we are not having. So right before the first break, Dr. Jonathan was, we were talking about the body and the disconnect between I'm going to say mind, body, and spirit. You were sharing with me about how, you know, you always thought that you were super healthy because you could run really far for really long. Good job. And how you started to learn that it might mean something else. So I think what you were describing was more like ideas, right? Questions that started to trickle into your consciousness, things that were previously okay with a previous version of Dr. Jonathan were now rubbing on your soul, for lack of putting it a better way. And you started to talk about spirituality. And I just wanted to welcome you to say, hey, this is absolutely a podcast where we talk about the intersection of spirituality, business, leadership, and how do we integrate this day to day. For me, faith and spirituality is not a thing that's once a day or once a week or, you know, whatever your frequency is. For me, it is in everything. It is in every moment. It is allowing myself to co-create my experience with the divine. And so with that, I want to turn it back over to you and talk a little bit more. You were saying something about meditation. You started meditative practices. The question is, how did that begin to shift? So previous idea was, oh, I run really far and really long, to.
Well, for one, let me say thanks for like even allowing me to even welcome the spirituality piece in the space. So essentially that shift for me was I ended up coming across a book called The Law of One. And reading that book literally changed everything for me. So it was for me, remember at that time, I had that health issue. So my only goal was to heal myself from this health issue. And from The Law of One, the book, they talk about how a lot of the experiences we had are tied to particular lessons. And if we want to be able to better understand or progress through a situation, then understanding the lesson that is behind that situation. So for me, I then started then see then how does one go about answering that question? Well, for me, it was meditation. and it was fasting. And when I'm meditating to for peace and sending love and light to the earth, but also for knowledge and information of to why I have this particular health issue. And it was the same thing with fasting. And it was essentially, it was that process as to where I started to then uncover bits and pieces of information to where I would say I got to the point to where, and this is when I would say the click that came for me when I was doing my fast, the extended fast, and I'm in meditation, and it took me back to an experience of when I was about maybe a little bit older than my son, about maybe 11, 12 years old, to where I was sexually molested by older women. And I realized that it was tied to that experience of why I had what I had. So in meditation, I went and I forgave those women for what they did. I forgave myself for things I did under that kind of negative mindset. Yeah. And all this is happening again during fasting. And so after the conclusion of that fast, went to the doctors, retested, and had completely healed myself.
Wow.
And that was the point of always knew and had this experience of kind of being sexually molested, but didn't necessarily, I was kind of just somebody's kind of just, it just happened. Like it was messed up. It happened, but didn't necessarily know of how certain things, if not corrected, can manifest in the body. And that was the lesson to me. And that was when I would say not fully understood, because I'm still in the process of understanding, but had a better understanding of the connection between mind, body, and spirit.
You know, I'm super passionate about this, like really using the body as a tool. It's my strong belief that it is one of the most effective ways for the divine to speak to us, is because it'll get your attention, like right now, especially if you're somebody who enjoys good health. Anytime there's anything that's like, for me, it's like, oh, my hip hurts, my knee hurts, my this hurts. And, you know, some people will be like, oh, well, you're in your 40s. And I'm like, no, there's something. And especially if it's like keeps going on and it doesn't. And so it goes through this, like you said, this process of, okay, I have a book, or I have a couple of books, where it's like, okay, what is the emotional piece around this? And I guess the reason why I think it's so important for men is because there's this, in my observation, there's this challenge where men aren't necessarily given. I heard an analogy recently that I just love. So women will say have 64 colors in their crayon box of how they feel about things, and men get 8. So being able to identify and really tap into that, I don't know that men are always given the tools, the resources, the permission to be able to like access those feelings. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, I like having this podcast, is to like really, you know, regularize the fact that, like, I'm not saying we have to sit and have deep, long conversations about your feelings, but really identify it just for yourself. Sometimes the body just needs acknowledgement of, yes, I was wounded. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it's, you know, in the past, and it doesn't have to define now, but I can let this go now. In your day to day and in the work that you do, how do you help? And maybe your work isn't specific to men, but if we ask, or if I focus the question on men, how do you begin to help them have that? Or is it simply through sharing your story?
Yeah. So you raise up a kind of a point where there's certainly a generational shift. So I was just like, even just this past 2 weekends ago, I was with some of my good friends and fraternity brothers, where we had our sons, and we were just kind of talking about the first time we heard our fathers say that they love us. And for me, it wasn't until like I went to college and other ones. So we all talked about all of these times that were basically over 18. Or one of them was like, man, when I got married, my dad was like, I'm proud of you, man. I love you. So I think there's something that at least my generation was conditioned to kind of like, what is a man? You know, like especially seeing your father. I had a great father who was a still he's alive, but was a pastor. You know, so all of these different things of what is I think a man is. But now as a generational shift, like I tell my son every night before he goes to bed, I love him. We kiss each other on the cheek. So there's a lot more emotion, showing of emotion that I think has happened. So that's to your kind of your earlier point of like, I think there's a generational shift of how kind of fathers now are raising their children versus previously. And my son meditates. So we've learned how to meditate. So we have like a spirit. We talk about spirituality. We talk about reincarnation, past life regression. So we talk about that stuff. So in regards to kind of like, I would say other men, one of the things that we started with Consci Rise is something called the Conscious Brotherhood. And that is a group of men that we pretty much meet on a regular basis. All different types of, it's a very, very diverse group of men. And I would say the thing that, there's a few things that come up the most. And some of the things that come up is relationships, like how to be able to navigate relationships if I'm having a particular problem or issue, and then career stuff will come up. So I'll tell you one of the things that I knew that something we were doing was working. So me and my son, we go to the barbershop every other Thursday, and I go into the barbershop, and some of the barbers that are at the barbershop attend the Conscious Brotherhood group. Which is actually helpful, because if they hear about other guys who would be interested, they just refer them to the group, because it's free. We don't charge anybody anything. It's just open for guys to be able to come. So when I walk in, two of the guys who were there, they just start clapping. They start clapping. And my son is like, why are they clapping? I'm like, what's up, y'all? What happened? And then the one guy, he's like, we meet on Tuesday. He's like, man, I just want to appreciate you for even having this thing. I'm like, well, what happened? He's like, well, you know, every Wednesday, and this was on Thursday. So we had our meeting on Tuesday, and we go to the barbershop on Thursday. So he was like, every Wednesday, I got to go to counseling with my wife. And he was like, you know, I hate going. Because he talked about it at the barbershop every time, how you don't like going. But he was like, you know, when we had our little meeting, some of the things, he was like, it was interesting. He was like, because it felt like feminine but masculine. He was like, because nobody was trying to like, I ain't felt like anybody was trying to like do anything against me, but you know, being able to share is not something that we really used to, because we kind of like have everybody go around and share. We don't force anybody, but you know, you have an opportunity, we have specific questions. And he was like, so basically after that conversation, man, we had the best session we had on Wednesday. And I'm going to be back. And then all the other guys was like, well, can I come? I'm like, yeah, everybody was like. So what I think is, it's this really kind of, how can we create these systems that I think are maybe in nature, or maybe the energy is feminine, which I don't mind, like feminine, you know, because in a masculine environment, it's, you know, from energy, there's masculine and feminine energy that makes a beautiful thing that's both needed. Yeah. So I certainly think that kind of our approach is, especially in super kind of hype, I would say, masculine environments, how can we introduce elements of more feminine energy to the process that then kind of elevates the process overall.
I love that. It's like you're reading my script or something, or my notes. what I wrote down, and we're going to talk more about it, is divine masculine and divine feminine energy and the integration of those things. Because I think sometimes I found this week, so there's a lot of content that was generated this week, because almost every conversation I've had has been around, how do we integrate the divine masculine and divine feminine energy that sits within each and every one of us. And in fact, it was my son I was talking to yesterday and I said, it's a beautiful dance. I said, if you have the opportunity to witness it in an energetic sense, it's literally this weaving that happens because you need to use both. You need both in day to day, in life, in the world, but even within you, you need both. It's so, anyways, I want us to talk more about that. We're going to take our second break. And when we come back, we will dive into more around exactly what you're talking about, divine masculine and divine feminine energy. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm joined by Dr. Jonathan Locus Jr., and we are talking about leadership and the body, the conversation we are not having. And right before the break, Dr. Jonathan was sharing some experiences around the group that he started. Concise Rise. And a group that he had started where it's really just meant to hold, it's a container. It's where you allow men to come and share if they like and begin to invite in some of that divine masculine and feminine energy. And it's so interesting that the gentleman who was sharing his experience at the marriage counseling was saying, oh, it was awesome because like it was like masculine and feminine. And I think that sometimes there's the idea by men or maybe even women that sharing and feelings or at least being in touch with what those emotions are have to be like laborious or painful or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's, as I've mentioned, it's as simple as just acknowledging it. And then it's almost like the body says, okay, you've heard me. Now I can release this pain kind of thing. So right before we went to break, I wanted to dive more into the integration of divine masculine and feminine. And when I say that, what does that mean to you? Integration of divine masculine and feminine.
Yeah, so I would say I kind of look at that from a few different ways. I look at it from one is like what are processes and modalities to where I could individually kind of combine the two. And then two, what are our insights that women have that I wouldn't have from having more of that feminine energy that could be a help for me in my path. So I'm kind of talking about the first one, you know, for the way I've kind of tried to combine it is really focusing on meditation practices. Like I practice Kriya Pranayama, Kriya Yoga, and you know, there's the cold snake reference, the Kundalini energy. And knowing that Kundalini energy going up is a masculine and feminine energy. So I think even with even things like that, like meditation and things like that, I think it has an opportunity to show more of who we are and are more divine, which actually, which of course, you know, includes both energies and less ego type things. It takes peels away layers of the ego. So I think that for one has been helpful for me. Second thing that has been really, really helpful is I do Jungian dream interpretation and active imagination. If you're doing active imagination, you know, you meet particular beings in your active imagination. And the first stop that I went to was the Great Mother. And I spent time in my active imagination with the Great Mother. And that's a source that I go to whenever I have questions. So that piece is there. And I know those things have been helpful for me in regards to just being able to combine kind of on my own. And then also, I've also just listened to women and their experiences with the energy. So my wife, for example, who is and has continued to read like more spiritually feminine women books, she was even telling me about, and it just would not have crossed my mind, but about how a lot of times women after like postpartum and some of the problems. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of talking about like you have a conscious living being that's inside of you, part of your consciousness that then all of the kind of the spiritual aspects of it, which then I would have never, ever, ever thought about from that perspective. And listening to that and learning more about that has given me a greater, I would say, knowledge and appreciation of the things that women go through on a regular basis in regards to them processing their feminine energy in that container.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, it's like you think about, I was having, again, I have three sons. So I've had this conversation with all three of them this week. And it's interesting because I said to them, they're going back to something you'd said about the transition in generations. Now, as you said, I equally did the same thing with my sons, which was like, it's okay to have your feelings. Like we just, you know, so when they were young and they'd be having like whatever fit, I would just be like, okay, well, I'm just going to give you this space in your room. And when you're ready to come out, you know, you're not in trouble. I'm just giving you time to process your feelings. And when you're done, come on out and let's have a conversation about it. And the awareness of how important that was in that moment as a parent, the full effect of that has only become apparent now. I was having a conversation with my 24-year-old and he is really masculine. But he is also so confident and comfortable with his divine feminine. He is a creative. He's very okay with naming those feelings. He feels zero way about it. And right. I think the reason why I'm putting that out there is for any of the audience that's listening, that's the gift that you actually give your kids, is the ability to name and be in touch and really show. And I even said it to him. I said, you know, I'm so proud of you. You know, you are so confident in who you are as a man that you feel zero way about like really feeling into those softer emotions. And I said, I love watching this dance of the divine masculine and feminine within you. So to be clear what that actually is for those who don't understand what I mean, it is the divine masculine is that energy you need to get things done. It is that drive. It's that ambition. It's very action oriented. And the divine feminine is it's softer. Doesn't mean it's weaker. It's softer because it's about being in that moment. It's about receiving. And if you think about how this dance works in life, it's very much the roles that we tend to embody. So, you know, with that and you sharing, you know, the experience that your wife was going through, what have been some of that she has shared with you furthermore into like this whole evolution that you've been on where you get into so was this something that you guys did together or was she more spiritual or were you kind of going on this journey together?
I would say like it kind of would have started with me. We both were kind of have religious backgrounds. But then with my health issue, I mentioned kind of went towards the spiritual. And one of the things that, you know, if you're not familiar with the Law of One or LL Research, is essentially they're channeling. So they're channeling, and that's not her thing. I mean, she kind of just said, like, I'm not trying to listen to, kind of channeled aliens and things like that. But she respected it because she said that she recognized the change in me, as far as even me, like, doing the dishes for her. Or because we have, like, certain things that we do. But I would just do things for her, just wanting to be able to take stuff off of her plate. And so she would say, look, it ain't really my thing, but whatever you read, and just keep reading, because because it's working. So that's when she started looking at more African feminism type things, and so it allowed us kind of a bridge point to be able to talk and communicate. So one of the things that we have done is if we've meditated at night with each other. And we're probably doing certain different things in our meditation, but we're coming together and sharing that time with each other. And also by doing that in the morning, or we've also just kind of had times to where she's kind of just shared more things that she's dealing with, and I'm doing the same. And because normally, like, if I'm dealing with something, I kind of have a spiritual process to where I'll kind of release it. But it's also good, of course, to talk about things, right? So I've been doing more of that, opposed to, I will say, holding in, releasing to the earth, releasing to the universe, more of my spiritual meditation, metaphysical things, but bringing that more of that energy and talking more about it, which I've enjoyed more, but she's enjoyed because I'm also able to get her perspective on a lot of these things. So that's kind of how we've kind of been kind of intertwining the two. But I will say that the things that have been most apparent to me, especially now having a daughter, and I respect women and their spiritual process and the things that they go through so much more. Like, even though she was explaining, like, and I don't have to, because I'm a novice at it, so I don't want to pretend like I'm an expert, but just even learning about, like, the periods, which I knew what periods were, but even those things, I just become I have a lot of gratitude for the things that women go through, especially bearing a child and so forth.
And it's thank you for sharing such a intimate part of your journey, because sometimes I think also what we're witnessing in this transition is the idea that our spiritual beliefs had to be the same. And even with my significant other, for me, I was born and, we'll say, baptized under the Anglican faith, but never really felt God in that very specific and traditional sense. And so when I started my own spiritual journey, it was actually so freeing to be so new at it that nobody felt any way about any of the questions that I was asking. So my ignorance allowed me to really explore, and nobody ever got offended because I could always just say, honestly, like, I'm just trying to learn. That's why I'm asking these questions, kind of thing, right? And because of that, it gave me this freedom to, like, really move without constraint. And even in my own relationship, what I've witnessed is, like, I've never tried to make my journey, my beliefs, my faith and spirituality, like, part of his thing. And I think that when we move, I think the only thing that I've always said is, like, I don't really care as long as we're both connected by some faith. Like, realistically speaking, it does not matter to me whatsoever. And I think that that lack of pressure has allowed this curiosity to emerge with, what are you doing? What are you reading? Because I'm changing, I'm shifting, and there must be a reason for that. And what I loved about what you shared is that it's very similar in that sense, that it's just like, oh, that doesn't really resonate with me, but hey, it's good for us. And because you're sharing that authentic piece, because I find that there was still this part that I was holding back because of the fear, like you were talking about channeling and aliens, and that's woo for a lot of people, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you're showing up so authentic that it allows her to come now and do the exact same thing. So I think if we remember that the biggest gift that we can give people that we interact with is the true gift of ourselves, then it allows them to also let their guard down and open up, as you guys have clearly done in your journey as Divine Masculine and Divine Feminine. So thank you so much for sharing that part of your journey. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And now you have this newfound deeper respect, we'll say, for the Divine Feminine in your world. How old is your daughter, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, she's 4 and she'll be turning 5 in about 2 months.
So for you, do you feel like, because your son is he 9, 10 or 11, 12?
So he's 10 turning 11.
10 turning 11. So now that you've got your son who has already, you've had a different experience, but do you feel that now with your daughter, it's just even more, we'll say, fostering of that divine feminine within her? Because now you're on this very intentional journey as well.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. I can already kind of tell that my children are spiritually aware. I don't spiritually aware, and even now, like even with my daughter, seeing that energy. So even like, so I'll even say even at certain times to where I would be like, okay, you're kind of annoying me right now. And this is real. This is dad stuff coming in. But then I can look at that and say, you know, that's a small portion of the creator that's growing. And that's, mm-hmm. and that is the creator. So then when I treat the creator like that, so I go through this process in my mind and of kind of just, either like you said, letting her be or just really trying, because before my dad would just be like, shut up, go to your room, be quiet, I don't want to hear. But just trying to say, all right, look, what's wrong? And a lot of times it can be just something silly, but every once in a while she'll get to a point, to an emotion that we can actually kind of talk about and work through. And that's one of the things that I didn't want. I want my kids to respect me, not necessarily fear me. And I think there were things in where there was in our household, it was fear driven. And I'm not saying that probably wasn't best for certain times, because honestly, getting a whooping scared me out of a lot of stuff, because we got whoopings.
I know.
So I think it's really been trying to be able to see like what are some things that I could then be able to then shift. In my mindset, so as I'm being a service as a parent and trying to help her grow, I can do that without actually impeding on her growth.
I love that, and thank you for sharing that. When we're going to go to our last break here, and when we come back, I have just a couple of questions to like bring this all together. But thank you so much for sharing, you know, about this journey with your family and what that's been like. It's been very open and very vulnerable, but we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Dr. Jonathan Locus Jr., and we have been chatting about actually way more than leadership and the body. We have talked about leadership, the body, kids, divine masculine, divine feminine, so, like all of it. I can't even believe we've covered this much content. But if you have been enjoying today's show, please give me a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform that you love. And as we are in the final segment of today, I wanted you to share with me regarding like now this real sitting in your body piece as a man. Do you find now that you use it as kind of like a guide? Because I don't know about you, but in the very beginning of my journey, I remember I'd be like, okay, God, you know what? I want signs. I want bells. I want whistles. Like, give me all the things to tell me go left, go right, go straight, stop, you know, all this stuff. And I didn't realize at that time that divine speaks so much quieter than that. But the one tool that will get my attention every time is my body. So do you find now, and what I mean when I say that, it's like if something is sitting really heavy in my chest, like a conversation or a decision that I've made, I'm like, ooh, that maybe is not the decision to make because it's sitting really heavy in my chest. Do you use your body in that way to now inform you of like the choices that you're making and the guidance that you feel like you're receiving?
100%. And I can give kind of a few examples of that. But I think it really gets to a point to where like I can even recall one time to where I was really involved with this spiritual practice. So I would say probably over the course of maybe about 6 or 7 months, I would go to bed very, very early on Saturday night so I can wake up and meditate before anybody else would wake up. And I would meditate for a few hours because, you know, once the kids get up, you know, it's kind of a wrap from there. But what was happening was, there will be times on Saturday night that I would want to stay up. I would want to actually maybe either watch a movie or have a glass of wine or do some with my wife. But I was just like, you know, I got to stay focused. And then what happened was I started getting a pain in my lower back, actually the right side of my lower back. And I'm doing yoga, right? I'm foam rolling. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, because it's not snowing, so I'm not shoveling. So I'm like, you know, really thinking about what is wrong. So a good friend of mine who practices shamanism, we're just talking. He's like, how you doing? I tell him. And he's like, well, can I observe you? Can I? And I'm like, yeah. And he essentially kind of closes his eyes. And he's like, you're suppressing fun. And I'm like, what? He's like, are you suppressing fun? Is there things that you want to do that? And literally the first thing that comes up was like, yeah, I just wanted to watch this movie with these movies or do stuff with my wife. And I haven't because of my spiritual practice. I thought spirituality kind of, and it was just like, well, no, you have to be able to enjoy all of the emotions. So what I did was, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to kind of switch up the schedule to where I'm going to watch some movies. I'm still going to meditate, but maybe don't dial it back a little bit. Within a week, that pain was gone.
Yeah.
So now what I've done is now as I kind of will go on a chakra system to where's the pain or where's the pressure? And then kind of where is that at? Kind of what would that align to on the chakra system? So if my throat is hurting, am I not saying something? Am I not clearly talking something with my Blu-ray chakra? If something here, am I not loving enough? Am I hiding love? Am I hoarding love? If it's red ray, if it's what fears do I have that I'm not processing? So I kind of have used the body in relationship to the chakra and energy center to then be able to see then what blockages do I have, but what are things that I need to work on to clear my chakras, but also my body.
I love that. That's fantastic and amazing and so crazy. Not crazy. I mean, I've had the exact same experience as well. And what occurred to me as you were sharing your story was like, I don't think the divine wants us to suffer and be miserable. I think the divine wants us to live joyfully and like really have like really enjoy the experience. Yes, they I think they love when we're you know, connecting with ourselves and allowing them to be in life and in co-creation with us. But joy is equal. Well, joy is what allows the manifestation to be so much easier because you're sitting in it. So
that's it.
Right. Thank you.
And that was something I had to learn. You know, I mean, that was just honestly, because I was, you know, I grew up where, again, my father was a Pentecostal bishop. So I saw him just study. Mm-hmm. study. So for me, it was this mindset of like, if I want to be spiritual, I got to grow.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.